We spent some time this morning in the First Assembly talking and reading from God's Word and also singing songs that we hope went well with those. We obviously understand that the songs that we sang were written by human beings. The Word that we read came from the Holy Spirit, from God. And so we know that those words that we read are true. We know that He would not lie to us. And as we sang even in the songs, we can know that God has assured us that we have something both in this life and in the life to come. It is an assurance that should be strong enough in each and every one of us that, not out of any arrogance, but out of the fact that God loved us so much that He gave His Son for our sins, that we can have eternal salvation. The problem we seem to have is that sometimes with that assurance, we tend to put either the assurance in ourselves, or we're not assured of our salvation, or we believe we're going to receive that salvation and don't have to do anything for it. And we have to be very careful about that. But we need to be very assured of our salvation. We don't need to be ashamed of it. If someone comes up to us and says, well, you folks think this or that, I'm not ashamed of the fact that I think I have salvation. I would want anyone that believes that they're doing what God said would have that assurance. The only thing is, we need to make sure of that by going to God's Word. In the Scriptures we read this morning, I think Adam started this out, and we were reading from Hebrews 11 about the folks that had that assurance. But as we jump back to the Old Testament, we realized, like in Isaiah, that there were those that thought they had it. Nick read to us about some women and some others there that thought they had the salvation. They thought they had all of this, and they were very arrogant in a physical way, but the truth was, he said they didn't have it. They weren't living the way God wanted them to. But as he goes on down, he says, but there will come a time when I'm changing all of this, and you can have full assurance of your salvation. And as Christians, we need to have full assurance. We need to have that blessed assurance. We need to understand that it is something that God has given us. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, we have a passage of Scripture that we use quite frequently, and we talk about this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Now this tells us that even then they had to be going a certain direction. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Don't go in a direction where He has not directed you, and He shall direct your path. We have to make sure God is directing us if we expect to have this. But we've got to then turn around, and if He is directing our paths through His Word and we are doing what He had to say, then we have this assurance of salvation. Assurance, defined, means just full confidence. It means that I am confident in something. There are people that I have full confidence in, full assurance in. If they say, I will do this, I'm assured they'll do it. There are others that I have met in my life, not so much. And there's been times that people may have had confidence in me, but I did not fulfill what I had told them I was going to do. But that's not God. God does, we have full confidence in Him. And there's freedom from doubt. Don't have to doubt my salvation. Why not? Because He promised it. We read that from several passages in the book of Hebrews. We read it from other places in the Bible where we can have full assurance of this. We don't have to doubt it at all. We can be free from that. We can have a certainty of it. That's what these words mean. We can have a trust. And I hope you noted in this that, now some translations won't use the word assurance or assured, but I try to use passages that show that. Every time God has said something, He's kept His Word. That's why I went back to the rainbow. He kept His Word. And therefore, we can know God will always keep His Word. He will never not do that. And those came from dictionary.com. In Numbers 23, 19 and 20, God is not a man that He should lie, nor is He the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said and will He not do it? Or has He spoken and shall He not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. And you might look at that passage of Scripture and we quote it and you think, wow, that person there must have been a wonderful person to declare that. You know who that was? That was Balaam. Balaam was not a good man. But you know what Balaam said? Balaam said, I tell you what, I can't but speak what He's made me do. He said, these are His words, Balak. I can. I tried, but He won't let me. He has told me that I'm going to say what He wants me to say, and I'm saying it. And I don't have a choice in this. And that's the way God is. If God says it, He'll do it. And what He told Balaam is, you will say what I tell you to say. And you know what? Balaam did. Balaam got stubborn later on, said some things he shouldn't have, but in this case, he said exactly what God wanted him to. So this trust, this confidence, this assurance that we have to know that God will hear. When we're thinking about our talking to God, sometimes I know people go, well, I'm not sure He'll answer that. I don't know how that'll work. And there's no confidence in that. In Psalm 37, 3 through 6, trust in the Lord, not just trust in Him, and do good. You'll notice with all of them this, that there's something we have to do in return. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. You do not, he said, have to concern yourself about God. He will take care of you. He's promised it, therefore He will do it. In 1 John 5, 14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in Him. What confidence? What assurance do we have? Well, that if we ask anything according to His will, and some people try to excuse and they'll go, well, maybe that wasn't according to His will. He's not talking about that here at all. He's talking about according to the things He's already dictated we can pray for. God will always answer our prayers positive. It may not be what we think we need and what we want, but He'll always answer it positive. He's not going to answer a prayer negative. He's not going to do something harmful to us. And I just wish people would get away from that. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've asked of Him. But people go, well, yeah, but let's, maybe not. That's not what He said there. That's a confident statement about I need to pray in confidence. I need to ask the way I know that He will answer. In Matthew 6, 32 and 33, for after all these things, and He's talked about all the things of this life. He said, you know, the problem with people is they're seeking after everything in life. And they want, and they want, and they want. You see, that's not according to His will. That's not according to His will. But if I'll do His will, your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He created us. You think He doesn't know better than me what I need. He knows every molecule of my body. He knows everything there is to know about me. He knows my thoughts, my intents. He knows everything. So why wouldn't He know my physical needs before I even ask? Now, I know He wants me to ask, but doesn't He already know? That's what the Scripture says. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, there's something I have to do. I have to have my confidence in God, but I also have to seek after Him and His righteousness if I expect to get them. You mean that if I pray for food, that He's not just going to drop it in my lap? Well, I'm not saying that there might not be times where I have received food from others. I understand that. But that's not the way it really works. I do His will, which tells me how to get the food, and then I pray that He'll help me in that effort to get what I need for this life. And David said it. He'd never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread, even though David in his lifetime didn't always have the food that he wanted. But he never starved to death. And he had confidence in God that God would always provide, and God always did for him. But this assurance needs to be, and I want to repeat this over and over, coupled with obedience. You can have all the confidence in the world and not do anything, and I guarantee you nothing's going to happen. If you don't obey, you're not assured of anything. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It starts with faith, a working faith, a faith that says, I will do what God says. Faith, in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God. What? I thought God came to me. I don't need Him. He entered. No, He did not. I have to go to Him. That means work, action on my part. And strong. I'm going to tell you what. The hardest work I've ever done in my life was faith. You know why? I haven't seen things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. I don't have it. I can't see God. It's hard for me, isn't it you, to think, okay, I know He created it, but then I start thinking, well, what about this? What about that? And there my faith starts going away, and before I know it, I lost what the next verse says. He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that just sit by and don't do anything. That's not what that says. He's a rewarder of those who diligently work at it hard, is what that word means, to seek Him. You go after Him. But I thought God did it all. Yeah, He did it all. But if I don't go and take it, I won't receive it. In verse 13, these all died in faith, not having the promise. But having seen them afar off, we're assured of them. Now, it's not in all versions, but it is in the New King James and some others. Embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were assured of them. Abraham was sure of it. That's a faith that's strong. He was so strong that when God says, I want you to leave this country, he said, I don't need to do that because I know God will take care of it for me. And that's not true at all, is it? No, his faith was so strong, he left that country. He did everything that God told him to do. And every time he made a mistake, you know what he did? He confessed that sin and he prayed to God for it. And he kept offering those sacrifices as a Gentile or one that was not a Jew. And he kept doing the things he needed to do. In Psalm 37, 3 through 6, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His righteousness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. But see what you have to do. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. What do? You commit yourself. And then He'll do it. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Our assurance has to be trust in the Lord. The assurance has to be in the Lord, not in myself. I cannot, in and of myself, save myself. I can go and accept His salvation by doing what He's asked me to do, but I can't do this separate apart from Him. 1 Timothy 4, 8-10. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is. I have it here and of that which is to come. I have to believe in both. I can't just have confidence in Christ in this life only. As he says in 1 Corinthians 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both sit by and do nothing. Again, no, we both labor and suffer reproach. If Paul hadn't done anything, he wouldn't have suffered any reproach. But he knew that he had to go and do what God wanted him to do. He had to commit himself to Him because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. In Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. Will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I don't know about the rest of you, but I've gone out and I've noticed that some of the plants aren't doing so well. They're not planted by a river. And if we don't water those things, they don't do well. And if God doesn't send us that water, they don't do well. And that's what he's talking about. We need to receive it from him. And it better not be in man that I have my hope and my trust and my assurance. It better not be because I stand up here that you have that. It better be because it's in the Lord. You never, ever want to trust fully in humans. If a person says something to you like an Abe Martin, you say, let me look, let me read that. Let me see if it's there. Too many people just totally trust in man. But Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6, prior to that passage we just read, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. That's what happened when we put our trust in another human. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. That's a far contrast from what we read later on about what God will give us. And we don't want to trust in, well, my parents said this, my parents did this, my parents, my grandparents, my... No, that will not work. That's what they did in the first century when they were talking to Jesus Christ in Matthew 3, 8, and 9. They trusted in their ancestry. They believed that because they were sons and daughters of Abraham, that they would have this salvation, that God loved Abraham so much He was going to do it for them. But you know what? John said, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. You're putting your confidence in the wrong place. But it's not to be in our own strength either. I think so many times we live in a country where we think, oh, our strength will get us through everything, and our strength is nothing. God can take away that in a heartbeat. There were nations on this earth that were so strong, but that is not where strength comes from. In Psalm 26 and 9, now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. And that possibly is talking about a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he goes on to say, That's where our trust should be. But some trust in horses and some in chariots. I said that backwards. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand aright. Save, Lord. May the king answer us when we call. David realized he wasn't the real king. The real king was in heaven. And he understood that, and he knew that. And he knew that they weren't to trust in these horses and chariots that all these other nations around them had. They had defeated